Secondly, honourable members, depending on the proceedings, we have just agreed with Cindy and company that we have scheduled this meeting to run until 6 o'clock this evening, and we will prepare dinner for you. So we are going to work until 6 o'clock this evening, and if, according to what Honourable Waters says, we are done by the end of the day or before 6 o'clock, then that is fine. But we will psych ourselves up to work until 6 this evening. I would break in between, of course. And then at the end of the day today, we will then decide on the times for tomorrow. So I'm hoping that has clarified everything. Agreed. Thank you very much. All right. And I'm hoping we've all got the same documents, same pages and so on. Just as a test, members go to page 11. Is that the one with the green table at the end? I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page so people don't say I've got the wrong document. Page 11 should be the green table at the end. Correct, everybody? Oh, it's just black and white. 11. All right, that is fine. I won't use the coloured one. That was okay, let's take any page. Page 11 ends with 624. Okay. Page 17, 822. Page 17, 8.2.2. All right. Everybody's then going to talk to the same document. I will discard my privileged document. You want this one? I've got this one stuck by minute. All right, honourable members, I'm not sure. The introduction, we are happy that introduction will be concluded when we get there, so we're not going to go to part one on page number one. On page number one, you want to start with the heading, all right? Anybody wants to make any comments on the heading?
Just a spelling
matter. I should say, members, can we agree that all matters grammatica, that we just overlook them now, we will try with Cindy to fix them up. But if on the 24th, there are still grammatical errors, then you can point them out. Otherwise, we'll just spend the day doing grammatical stuff. So please don't make corrections on grammar. We will try and identify them and pick them up. And we'll only address grammatical errors on the 24th, after 2 o'clock. Page number one. Yes, sir.
Yeah, sorry, also on page one. I'm just wondering whether that those first two lines is what we're supposed to do. The ad hoc committee on the SABC board inquiry, having inquired into the fitness of the SABC board, reports as follows. Is that the right way we put it? Or should we take more from the terms of reference, or is it what we were supposed to do? I'm just asking questions now.
No? The way we operate in this committee, let me just make that clear. Nobody's going to ask questions because nobody has answers. You're going to suggest a proposal and people would then accept or reject your proposal. The proposal Mr. Singh is making is that we take off that very first line, and if we want to say something, let's at least insert the terms of reference as they were on the ATC.
Yeah.
Mr. Kobis?
Yes, Chairperson, I'll suggest the same, that we insert the terms of reference as they were on the ATC, because that's where we begin. That's our mandate. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, thank you. Can I make just a slight adjustment to that? If we can say, into the fitness of the SABC board, as per the resolution of the National Assembly dated so and so, because we go into the detail in paragraph 2.1.2. Now, if we just refer there in terms of the NA resolution of the 3rd of November and reports as follows, then we don't need to have too many words in the introduction paragraph.
Okay. It seems to be that we are saying the head of committee on the SABC board inquiry having inquired into the fitness of the SABC board as per the NA resolution on whatever day, report as follows. Comfort to that? Thank you. All right. Any suggestions on, can we say page 1 or do we say 2.1.1? What were you suggesting, Mr. Watson? All right. 2.1.1. Assuming members have read this document. Yeah. No, I have not used the mic. I wanted you to use the mic. 2.1.1 we take. 2.1.2. Right? All right, now let me also look at mine now. So. All right.
I'm taking this data from the National Assembly.
So we take 2.1.2. At the very top of page 2, that's included in the ticking, eh? Thank you. 2.1.3? Agreed? Yeah, my brother. 2.2.1? Agreed? Yeah? 2.2.2? Yes, let's take COSA and then we'll take...
Honorable Kubisa is spelled wrongly there. If they can correct his spelling, because they may just forget about it. It's not English.
Yes, Jefferson, I think also it's not English. It is a matter referring to the asterisks. I was just wondering if we shouldn't just have a little asterisk and say alternate members.
Chairperson, it's something that I always highlight in this report. It's 2.2.1. Sorry, I'm raising my hand. And it says from other parties, two members. Can you mention the members of those parties, smaller parties that represented us?
2.2.1?
Yes.
Other
parties, yeah.
2.2.2 mentioned
today. No, I'm talking about political parties there. The two parties that represent the two parties, yes. No, it would be the NFP and the IFP, right?
So you want us to remove from other two parties and we say from NFP and...
Yes.
No, hold on, let's allow him to speak. So you're suggesting from NFP and...
The two parties that represent smaller parties here are the IFP, right, and the NFP,
okay.
Rather than just say
from
parties, two members.
From IFP and NFP. That is the proposal that's on the table. What is, just on this point.
Yeah.
Oh no, let's take the legal one first and then we'll come to the others. What does the legal say?
Sorry, it's just a short one. We're looking at the resolution of the NA and this is just a repeat because the heading of 2.2.2 says the following members were selected to serve on the committee and that's in terms of this resolution. So, Membership is pursuant to this resolution. So we just copy.
Right. Legally saying it's a direct reflection of what was in the National Assembly. 2.2.2. Except for the spelling error. 2.2.3. 2.3.1.
Check. I hope you've taken note of. Honorable Killian, under 2.2, the asterisk must say alternate.
No, we've taken that one. 2.3.1.
Agreed.
2.3.2. Honorable Swat and then Honorable Koza and then Honorable Fanda.
I think we need to just have a brief sentence to explain.
explain what we mean by the inquisitorial. Okay, I'm not suggesting wording, but I'm just saying one sentence to explain the inquisitorial approach as opposed to the adversarial approach. This is not a court of law that is sitting where you'd have, and that's why the committee have adopted an inquisitorial approach. Maybe we can just have a sentence from our legal advisors just to say an inquisitorial, it says with evidence being gathered, but it's not an adversarial approach. And I think that's...
Chair, I just wondering if I'm proposing that we do include a clause under the process that highlights the fact that this was an open process consistent with the parliamentary policy. The reason for that being that nobody is going to come out later on and say, you know, there were certain things that were decided on somewhere behind the scenes, everything was open. Because this is going to be a historical record as well, Mr. Chair.
All right, just so that we all move on the same page, we will add a sentence that tries to explain what inquisitorial means, and then we will add a sentence that says it was open and transparent and so on. Swartz and then Matamo.
Well, the same S, you're on the same page, S and S. Chairperson, I just thought as a way of process, the drafters must number this draft one or whatever, and as we move forward, highlight the amendments that were made so we can catch up on the amendments and the deletions, like in a normal book. Thanks.
Will you? Chair, just for my understanding, on 2.3.1, at the end you say the committee adopted the process the inquiry would follow. Now, from there it refers to the two aspects, which is the inquisitorial as well as the appointment of the person to conduct the interviews. Are we then saying these are the processes that we are referring to, or is there something that is missing? Just trying to... But I know that what Dr. Koza is saying is actually part of what would have been part of the agreed upon process. Transparency aspects, the open, and so on and so on. But I'm not sure whether there's something that's missing from that end of whatever.
I'm going to have patience and say it three or four times, but this is your second bite. Don't ask questions, make a proposal, because really we don't have any answers. Quite honestly, we don't have answers. Put a proposal, and members would have it. Because once one of us answers it, then it's owned by whoever answers it. It must be a collective decision. So make your proposal, sir, and other members will agree whether they think it should be included or removed.
I'm not raising the question to you. I'm saying, let us look at this. Have we covered the process? Because that's what I'm asking. I'm not asking to the chair. I'm saying there is something that's missing. That's why I'm saying, and I'm referring to what Dr. Koza is saying, but we may have other things that have not been included here. And I think it's an important area where we need to give value to our, give meat to our document.
Just so that I understand where we are, we're talking 2.3.2. Point one. 2.3.1.
You see, after the election of the chairs, we adopted a process. Now, the only aspect that we have raised, which form part of the process, is the approach that we are embarking upon, which is an inquisitorial one. And secondly, we're speaking about the advisor who is going to be the solicitor general. And there's issues that the colleague has raised here of transparent process, and so on and so on. And I'm saying to myself, this statement that is on 2.3.1 at the end, the drafters perhaps also wanted to include something And perhaps we may have gotten to include those things and say, can you remind each other about it? And that's what I was saying. So I can see colleagues would like to help us out of this.
This time it's SWAT, Chair. Chair, maybe this is an issue we need to flag, and we need to just think if there are any other issues which we need to raise as a matter of process that needs to be added. That's purely, I can't think of anything at the moment, but to help you to go forward, so that overnight there might be other issues of process that need to be included.
No, thank you, Chair. Partly covered by Honourable Swart, but I wanted to say we do need to guard against conflating the process with too many issues. I think the more specific we become, the more we get focused on what we want to say, rather than bringing in a number of issues.
Chair, can we perhaps just ask legal to formulate along the lines Honourable Khoza's suggestion that we conducted the process in terms of parliamentary rules and constitutional principles, you know, kept as per a specific section, because that would then include the reference to calling witnesses, swearing them in during the process. It is just to strengthen the role that we have fulfilled in terms of the rules and the constitution to come to the bottom of the inquiry. I think that is possibly what Honourable Khoza is also referring to. It's not only the open process, but it is also in terms of the rules and as per the constitution.
One of the things, very important matter that we've left out, is we identified the people that were going to be invited to the process. And I know that 2.4 already speaks about people that were invited. There is a document here that we generated in that meeting, which I think is crucial, that we either bring it as an addendum, otherwise we will have a bulky document, but I think it's crucial that we bring that aspect, and we can always refer to an addendum. And I think where we identified 38 potential witnesses and so on and so on, but I think that's where it happened, and we have certain resolutions that are attached to it. And those documents appear on the 24th November. That's the document that was served, the things that we had agreed upon on the day as soon.
Chair, I agree with Honourable Masango. I think we can include another clause that probably speaks to the methodology that was adopted by the committee. Just the one liner that says there was a process of identifying, you know, witnesses, and we had to discuss which witnesses are we going to go for and that kind of thing. So that at least it's clear from anybody who is reading who will... So that it's clear for, you know, it's clear how we arrived at the conclusions that we would probably have arrived at. There must be something on methodology.
Correct, Honourable
Bomber? Indeed, that's a brilliant point, Chairperson. We agree with it. So that people can follow as to how we arrived at the conclusion. I agree. Thank you.
Yeah, Chair, I just thought we must distinguish between oral and written representation somewhere, because it might be a point later on, because we invited certain people to make oral representations and anybody to make written representations, you know. So I think we have that. And then I want to speak to 2.4.1 if we are there. Oh, okay, I'll come to 2.4.
Including in the list, Chair, it will be the civil society participation in the process, that we then include them within the list of those that we have identified.
All right, we will take those of it. We will include the process, we'll try and further detail the process. So many people, these are the people who will do that. That's what you're asking for, is that not so? And we'll refer to that document that you keep on referring us to. If you give us that document, we'll try and capture that. And everything else in terms of the rules and so on. 2.3.2.
that on public participation, because I was going to say it's important for the report to capture the essence that over and above identifying the witnesses, there was participation of civil society, and probably we mentioned them by name, those that participated, because one of the things that we're trying to do as well is to deepen democracy and to understand that, you know, Parliament is an open institution. All the civil society organizations who have something to put forward, they can participate in the process.
We shall incorporate that. Do you still want to talk to anybody wants to talk to 2.3.1? Dan, can you take it? No, Kwangwa.
Chairperson, building up on the point that was honourable was made by Dr. Khoza earlier, shouldn't we not say in that first point, 2.3.1, that we adopted the approach and the process to the inquiry or something like that, so that then immediately we start with the inquisitorial approach, which is fine, and then immediately after that we outline the process. That's what I'm saying. 2.3.1, I'm saying, we say we adopted the process maybe and the approach, right? So that immediately we for example, if you look at 2.3.2, we immediately talk about the approach. After the approach, then we can introduce the process and outline it.
So you're suggesting we add the word and process in 2.3.1 and then we...
So that it flows.
Right. All right. We'll do our best, and you can always look at it again before we give you the final one, but that's okay. 2.3.2? 2.3.2? No. You guys are sorry. 2.3.3.
Chair, I want to make the following recommendation, that we just shorten the sentence by saying the committee agreed to appoint Advocate Vanara, Parliamentary Legal Advisor, as its evidence leader, full stop. Advocate Vanara conducted a series of interviews, blah, blah, blah.
That's fine. Can you reduce that? You know when you say blah, blah, blah? We'll do that.
Sorry,
you know, we are parents. We'll put blah, blah, blah.
I apologize. What I actually wanted to say is just to get the evidence leader at the beginning and to then have a full stop and then to have the next sentence with the rest being retained to start with Advocate Vanara conducted a series of interviews with potential witnesses and in anticipation of an inquiry which would have been conducted by the Portfolio Committee on Communication, full stop.
All right. Thank you very much. With those amendments, can we move on? 2.4.1. Let's take Fanda, and then we will take Singh, and then we will take Matlang.
It's a stylistic suggestion which actually is throughout the document. When you say Minister of Communications, you say Minister of Communications says Mutamba. If you mention COO, you must mention a person's name. It's throughout the document. So can they please just make it clear who we're speaking about specifically?
Is there a comment? Any others?
Thank you, Chairperson. 2.4.1, the committee invited briefings from state institutions. I know 2.4.2 tells us what they came and presented on, but I think we should mention them there. Invited briefing from Public Protector, AXA, ICASA.
Right. So you're saying under state institutions?
Instead of state institutions,
we must say invited.
Briefing from Public Protector, Office of the Public Protector.
You know what I should have done? I should have asked, without necessarily getting into debate, as people made proposals, because now you're not talking to the same one, you're talking to the second one, which might... Let's deal with the second one first. Everybody's happy that instead of saying other institutions, we list them. Okay. Then, before I come back to you, sir, can I go to the proposal made by Ms. Van Ramsey? We deliberately, let's put it this way. When we were drafting this report, we thought that if we said ex-board member, or we refer to the office rather than the person, it takes away the sense that people are saying, you've mentioned my name, therefore you're targeting me. That was the spirit that we were doing it. Members are saying, no, put the names. Because if we do that, there will be many other instances. This list will be full of lots of people's names. So I'm just saying we must think about that. Because it's not only the minister and the COO. It's ex-HR manager, it's ex-this. It means we will have to put names in all these things. And I was just wondering if that is what we want to do. But on that point only, then we'll move on. Yes, sir. And then Ms. Khoza. I beg your pardon, Swan. I'll never say that again. Honorable Swan.
Thank you. Just, you see, this will be a document that will be archived, that will be referenced in the future. And so when people read back and they see CEO of what board, to me when I read it, it was unclear whether it's a former board. So I think I agree we need to put names in, Chair.
Listen to that.
Okay.
I noted Khoza. Let's go to Loliwe afterwards, and then Killian.
No, Chair, I just wanted to remind the members that you must remember that when the witnesses were giving us evidence, we wanted them to be specific about which minister they were referring to, because we got confused. There were too many ministers during a very short period. So it's very important for precision to mention so that it's not subject to any ambiguity or distortion. Thank you.
I only going to take opposing views to us putting names. Any opposing views?
I was kind of opposed to it because of that thing of people saying that they were targeted. I think members make a good point. I think they make a good point. No, I think let's put in the names.
We live and die by our decisions. Fine. We'll put in names. We've been overruled at the drafts, so where we put post, we'll put post and name, or otherwise we'll put name. Ludwig.
Chair, I think we can do both. When you are mentioning the person for the first time, we indicate the name and in brackets to indicate that later we will refer to as a minister.
No, all right, that's fine. I'm saying we take the point that you want us to be specific. We will do that as far as possible. And if in the report of the 24 there are still areas where it could be ambiguous, people will raise that. But we will go with your approach that says names.
One quick point. So if in the document referring to an office, then we say the office of the minister or the office of the AG. But if it's referring to the minister as in the person, then it must have the name.
You guys are just giving us too much work. We will do that. Let me keep on reminding you. Let's keep on reminding you that this report is 37 pages. We don't want a 100-page report. Just be cognizant of the fact that we don't want a bulky report or unnecessarily bulky, but we will change that and put names, and where it refers to the office and not the individual, we'll put the office. I think that's fair. 2.2.4. I thought we were dealing with 2.2.3 at that point. Is there more on 2.2.3? I beg your pardon, 2.4.1. 241.
Yeah. Chair, I would like to suggest that instead of putting the hearings took place from 7 December 2016 to 13 January, because it sounds like we had hearings for 6 weeks, we put from 7 December to whatever date we, 14th I think, and then from whatever date to 13 January. There were two sessions of those hearings, so it's quite specific.
That is fine. We will make those amendments, and I'm hoping that those that are assisting us in scribing, everybody, you are taking notes. Google, everybody's taking notes. All right. 2.4.2.
242. Yes, Mr. Bapa. No, Chair, this thing is not in the document, but it's something that I feel colleagues may want to consider. Look, I would suggest that we consider including a problem statement, if it's possible. I know we never discuss it, but it is implied that we are trying to resolve a problem. And what is that problem? My view would be that it would be proper that we actually bring a problem statement on what had happened in the SABC, and therefore the processes that are unfolding are actually trying to resolve that problem. And I'm prepared to craft a short input on that matter, if I'm allowed.
So we'll put that problem statement in the introduction. You can right at the beginning of the introduction, you'll draft one and you'll read it to you. We won't put it in without us considering it. But if you want to put, is there any opposition to putting a problem statement? 1, 2, 3, 3. Yes, that's what we do. Problem statement.
So my thing obvious would be to have a problem statement vice versa terms of reference. I thought that terms of reference really define what is the problem, rather than creating another problem.
No, it's apparent here, Chair, that the problem statement would come before the terms of reference, because I'm supporting it, yes.
Chair, I was trying to actually just check the order paper, if we can't just find the one-liner there, but, clearly the introduction in the NA minutes captures a little bit, but Honourable Mashlongo would probably like to expand on that. I don't have a problem with principle, I think I support it, as long as it's not a long paragraph.
No, it's fine. We won't preempt, but you hear what the people are saying. You can do it, you don't have a problem in principle. We'll bring it before the House tomorrow, and we'll agree where we're putting it in terms of actual spacing. Honourable McQuinn.
No, Chair, I was going to suggest that it goes in terms of reference 2.1.1. Right, where it says the inquiry was instituted on the basis of, and then we.
All right. By close of this meeting this evening, Honourable Matlangu, you must give us something. By close of business this evening. And we will debate it tomorrow. 2.4.2. 2.2. Chowk.
Can we separate the civil society and the state institution? Have a separate paragraph that identifies civil society. Because in the headlines, there is the following state institutions, and we are putting civil society together with your public broadcasting collegium and the freedom of expression that are separate from the state institution. So we have to put them separate.
Okay, we will say the following state institutions list them and the following civil society organizations and list them. Okay, that's 2.4.2. Any other amendments on 2.4.2? Mgwena and then Killian.
And then SABC 8 falls under what?
And other.
No, but I'm saying 2.4.2 is not there, is it?
No, it's not there.
Yeah, we're still dealing with 2.4.2. We'll get to 2.4.4. Killian, 2.4.2.
Chair, we refer to the abbreviation for the Office of the Auditor General later on. My suggestion would be that we, early in the document, just have between brackets, ACSA, so that we can then later on just use that as well as ICASA. So my suggestion would be that we either, if we introduce these institutions in paragraph 2.4.1, then we just put between brackets the abbreviation, and then from there on we can just use that going forward.
All right. Can we go back, Chauke, to your point? The boss here is saying to me, if we read that in carefully, the second bullet point, he said the ICASA came to brief us on matters relating to, because the other one lists them separately. So are you happy, Chauke? Here we're not listing them separately. We were saying we spoke about state institutions, then we talk about the AG, finish it. Then we talk about ICASA and what ICASA came to do on bullet point 2. No, it says, no, ICASA. council came to brief us on matters that were raised by civil society. So it was not, we were not trying to categorize. All right, so we are deleting your recommendation. Anything else on 2.2.2? We'll take your point, Madam Killian, that we will have something that is almost, I don't know what you call it in English, but where we say AGSA equals to this and PBA equals to that up front. Glossary, yeah. Outside of that, is there anything on 2.4.2, Limashan? No? Thank you very much. 2.4.3. Yes, Madam Van Dam, and then Van Dam, and then Singh.
Thank you. This applies to this clause and the following ones. When we say people declined, we need to give a short sentence explaining why they declined. It needs to be on record that they were invited and they declined, and what their reason were, or what their reasons were. In case people come back later and say they weren't given opportunity, we must have it on record why they declined.
Right. We will take all those points. Hopefully we have kept records of that. I think we have, and we will do that. But remember, members, we'll always come back and check if we are accurately reflecting what you want. Honourable Singh.
Thank you, Chair. On declining, I think that sentence or whatever that refers to declining must be in the new paragraph. It's the new thing. It must not just be caught up with who was invited.
Say that slowly, Madam.
I say the sentence which refers to those that declined must come as a new, complete new sentence. It's a new point.
Okay.
It's a new paragraph.
Okay. Happiness?
Yes.
244. Now, hold on. Can I go back to 243? I had a difference on my one. Declined to participate. Can't we add the sentence, or were unavailable? Because others that didn't come was not just because they declined. Some were unavailable. So we'll add to the end of that sentence, declined to participate or were unavailable, but then we'll still make it a separate sentence, because it mustn't appear as if everybody that didn't appear declined. Others were just not available. People were sick and whatever. So we'll add, or were unavailable. Thank you very much. Then it means we move to 244, eh?
No, Chair.
Yeah, well, 243.
Can I suggest?
No, hold on. Let's just find out where we are first. Is it 243?
243, yeah.
Okay, on 243, Mr. Mokwena.
Yeah, I think they must be categorized. The ones that came, the ones that declined, and the ones that were unavailable. So that they're three separate things. So, yeah.
All right, that proposal? Soft, and then what is right? On the road? On 243? No, okay. 244. Let's start with Mr. Swartz, 244.
Chair, this obviously, there must be a sentence here about them giving evidence and the intimidation and the outrage that we as members of Parliament expressed when they gave evidence, and then thereafter they were still threatened. And you took it up with the authorities and reported, and we need to put a sentence in here or at an appropriate place about them being intimidated, because as we said, this was an attack and discouraging people to come and give evidence here to Parliament. We saw it as an attack on us, so we were very strong on that issue. Where we put it in, either here or later, is obviously significant, but it is a very important paragraph.
That point, is it, I mean, that was our observation. Can't we put it under observations? Yeah, under observations, because I mean it was hours afterwards. Okay, we won't miss the point. We will put it there that says, under observations, the committee was not very happy with what was happening, and we did whatever we needed to do. 244, Mr. Waters, and then Ms. Killian.
Chair, there's a spelling statement on individual's name. It should be Kobule. I hope I pronounced it right. The first one, first name, it's spelled incorrectly. Then we also need to name the eight SABC eight people, please. We should name them. Not, you know, because they were very brave. And obviously, as the...
Hold on, just very slowly, just hold on a minute. Evidence on behalf of, and will give all the names.
Yes, of the eight.
As opposed to SABC 8, we take out SABC 8 on behalf of, and we list all of them.
Well, you can refer to the SABC 8.
But list them.
We need to list their names, and it's the first paragraph of mentioning them.
All right, anything else on 244?
And just the point that Honourable Van Damme mentioned, the fact that Mr. Green declined to participate, we need the reasons there. Yeah. Okay, all right, thank you.
Honourable Kenyon.
Yes, Chair, and only in the case of Mr. Green, we should also just make it a separate paragraph to highlight the fact that, you know, that he didn't come. Just as in the previous case.
No, and Ms. Sophie McQueen as well. That's fine. Separate paragraph. The sentence that starts Mr. Vuyani Green must be a separate paragraph is what you're proposing. Is that what you're proposing, Kilian? Okay, let's take Mukwena.
As well as in the case of Natoki Mukwena.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that clearly we must just say that they were invited, but they declined to come.
Yeah.
And I suggest that if we're putting the reasons in some other cases, then if we have the reasons, then we can insert that as well.
No, I thought we had agreed early on that we'll have a table categorizing those things up front somewhere. Then we don't have to put the reasons every time, because there will be that table that we refer to. Honourable Kwankwa?
No. On this Vuyani Green matter, I just want to find out, that sentence says it could not be accommodated in the inquiry when he indicated willingness to do so towards the end of the process. Did we not say that we're going to accommodate him via written submission? Should that not be captured here, or am I missing something?
No, we could say it could not be accommodated for physical.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can for an oral one.
Okay,
we'll clarify that. Honourable Chauke, still on 243.
Yeah, on
244.
On that note, Chair, that 244, is it not possible that we can go back and deal with the, because I don't see us having dealt with the behavior of the board. You remember the appearance, the walkout, and all of that, where it's incoming. But I thought it would then follow those who have not. But it's important fact that I don't want to.
You offline what I should have said now, but I'll spare you the blushes then. 244, are we happy? Yes, with those changes. 245? Let's take Mr. Singh and then Ms. Killian.
Chair, the first sentence, I think we can rephrase that somehow or the other. The following SABC employees were invited to give evidence on the SABC human resource management and compliance with the PFMA in regard to financial and supply chain management. And then we just
say that slowly again.
The following former SABC employees were invited to give evidence on.
Give evidence on, yeah?
The SABC human resource management and compliance with the PFMA.
And compliance with the PFMA.
I think we can stop there. Or with regard to financial and supply chain management.
Full stop.
Full stop. Listen, yeah.
So do you got that? All right, I have noted Killian and... Oh, is somebody opposing that particular one? Okay, let's take the position to that one.
Chair, I thought you agreed in the beginning that you're not doing grammar. I think that's a grammatical contribution. Can you just, otherwise we'll never finish, can we just do stylistic or context, not grammar or spelling, unless it's like Honourable Kwaza said, unless it's spelling that's not in English, but can you just limit ourselves to that.
Okay. In the spirit of reconciliation, and because you're asking for it, you'll pay the price for it. People like Mr. Singh who have that type of thing, can you just make a note and jot it and send it to the table? And we'll factor it. So the more you find fault, the more you'll work. Honourable Killian, on 245.
Chairperson, just for completeness, if we refer to Mr. Jimmy Matthews, I think we should also refer to the fact that he was acting group CEO, GCEO. Where we make reference to the position he held as former head of news, we can just insert, and acting GCEO, Mr. Jimmy Matthews.
Sorry, was there anybody else on 245? Yes, Mr. Mugwena, and then Mr. Swartz.
No, just
and then Kosa.
Just going to start off again, just in consistency, to say that the following people. people presented evidence, and then we mentioned Phil Cliff and the rest of them, and then we say, and the following declined, Jimmy Matthews and yeah. So yeah, so the separation of it. Yeah.
All right.
Chair, some of the documents that we got last night, there's an annexure that isn't signed, and I'm not sure from a JM123. There's no name, and one it could be from Mr. Matthews, I don't know. But if that is the case, then it would have to be inserted that he did make a written submission. But maybe we can get clarity from, I'm not sure who it came from, but it's, anyway, that's a point we can clarify outside of the meeting.
Okay. Just so that there's no grey areas, Mr. Matthews never made a written submission other than to send us an SMS later on in the process saying that he could well make himself available, but there's no written submission. Ms. Kosa.
May be useful for the document to reflect the period under which such a, if it's a group executive, we refer, maybe in brackets, we put something that, you know, indicates the period under which such, yeah, the tenure of that executive. The reason being that, Chair, there's been a lot of changes. And if we omit the period, it may just water down the extent or the enormity of the problem.
I hope members are not asking us to go and look for evidence that we don't have. If we have that evidence, we will listen.
Chair, can I suggest there was something that the staff did in that research document that you did? There was a tenure of all these people, and I think it's information that we already have.
I'm saying the principle is as long as it's information that we already have available, because we won't have time to go and do research. Honourable Mokwena, we're still on 245.
I don't remember that's been covered. But can we then find a clause that lists all the written submissions, to list them all and what the issues were and so on and so forth?
We will do that as an annexure. I should have mentioned that earlier on.
Okay, cool.
So the type of things that Mr. McQuarrie, not only for you, but remember that we said at the beginning that we will try and be as transparent as possible. We would have received them, members of public wouldn't know. So we'll have an annexure that says these are the written submissions that were received, and shine and summarize what the contents were. But we'll have it as an annexure.
Yeah. But then when there's some that were written submissions on the basis that they fear for their lives, or, and would it be correct for us to publicize it?
No, I'm saying we will try and be as transparent as possible. Where they are written submissions, I don't think that, we can do that, but I don't think anybody wrote and wanted to be anonymous.
Yeah.
But if there were, we will bring it to you and we will confirm. But the principle is we'll give you a list of the written submissions, which you all have, by the way, but for the sake of the report, we'll make that an extra. Kubisa, and then
I wanted to say this matter of tenure is very important. When the period when a person was serving in the SAPC is very important, because somebody knows about the SAPC, and when you put in the name, he or she would love to know when that person was serving, where possible, that must be given.
Chauke?
On the issue of the submissions, the public submissions, check, one of the things that we must do is to public submissions that when I was talking about, that we should, public submissions, written submissions that were submitted, that we should sort of list them and then state what were the issues there. I'm saying that we need to be careful on the line that if they were not under oath, we may not want to take that information and make it a public information, to be information that we submitted. So we can just list them as the following submissions we need, and we leave it there, rather than going to the details we will not announce.
I thought what I understood Mr. McQuinnon was saying would be there was a public submission from Vincent Smith relating to X, without the details. Yeah, agree. 245, anything else? lunch is at 1 o'clock, so just bear that in mind. 246? 246? Happy? 247? Don't howl at me. Oh, 246, you don't agree? No, we'll note everybody. 247. Let's take the ladies first this time. Killian, remember your numbers. You'll be number 2, Fandam. You'll be number 3, sir. You'll be number 4. You'll be number 4. Killian.
Chairperson, I just want to suggest that we make it Professor Mangube, because we, at the intro we refer to him and thereafter we refer to him as Mr.
Instead of Prof, we must make it Professor. That's what you're suggesting.
No, I don't necessarily say Professor. I'm just saying the second sentence starts with Mr. Mangube.
I see. Or where we say Prof, we say Prof all over. Okay. Derek? Killian? I beg your pardon. But
no. Thanks, Chair. When we're speaking about Prof. Mangube and his attempt to delay the inquiry, I think we need to go into a little bit more detail because it speaks to the SABC board's and executive's attitude towards Parliament. So can we include, it doesn't have to be long, can we include that they went to court, that they then again tried to stop the inquiry twice, they came here, they walked out, just a few sentences to just put it on record, the initial attitude towards the committee.
I'm being advised that we put that under observation, what you're talking about. Is that okay? We've covered it under observation. I had noted two other hands, who was it? No, it was Schalke, and then Schwartz, and then Mokwena. 247.
The invitation that we invited the problem of Uwe was as a chairperson of the board. You remember, he resigned immediately after he appeared here. So the line must read that to give evidence as the chair of the, as the chairperson of the board, rather than on his tenure as, in his capacity as a chair. We invited him as a chair of the board.
Agreed? Okay. All right, we'll come to you. Swart, and then Mokwena, and then we'll come to you, ma'am. On 247.
The issue of why we had to summon him is important to be mentioned, whether it's here or not, with observations. It's not a normal process, but I think we need to emphasize why we summoned him as well, together with the delays. I think that can come under observations. Thank you, Chair.
Well, when we get to observations, you will talk to us whether it's strong enough or whether we want to add it, but I'm saying part of observations. Mokwena.
Yeah, Chair, I think in the spirit of fairness, we must mention his reasons for walking out, the issue of the prayer and so on and so forth. So I think that kind of information might assist Parliament in going forward in dealing with people with brain or other special needs. No?
No, remember, it's past these past observations, we can discuss it. I'm just thinking aloud here because
okay.
Do we well, if you guys agree that we must capture the reasons, it's fine. But sometimes we'll be capturing things and emphasizing wrong things. You know, you must be careful that we mustn't immortalize things that are wrong.
No, sure.
But we'll deal with it when we get to observations. Was there anybody else on 247 besides yourself? All right, can I make my own suggestion? At the very end of 2.7, gave evidence in a role as shareholder representative, because that's what it is. It's not the shareholder, it's shareholder representative. Okay. Will you put that? No? Yeah, that's... Oh, am I jumping the gun? I beg your pardon, I'm sorry. So 2.4.7, we're happy with that one. All right. 2.4.8, we'll put shareholder... Let me get the first bite. Shareholder representative, anything else? 249. Oh, 248.
All I was saying, Chair, all the other witnesses that you captured before we mentioned their names, here we're going for an abbreviation. And we've, I think we've not been, all I'm saying is let's try and have a particular standard that we're using. If we knew using names that you can enter to our documents and not,
You're saying instead of F, we must put the name, is that what you're saying?
The name, as well as you, as you go to the document, the other that you obviously have not used names, you just use their initials and whatever that you want. Let's just be consistent in our approach.
Accepted? 248? 248. Are you saying we must say Honorable Ms. Faith Matambi or Honorable Ms. Faith Matambi?
It's fine.
No, it's fine. It means that if you do that, we're going to do it all over in the document. If it's a member, we must do that. Fine. We will do as you command us to do. 248, is there anything else? Mr. Swart.
Chair, should we not mention here or in the next paragraph that the Honourable Minister Yunus Karim also made a submission as in response to allegations made against him? Just a suggestion.
No. Remember what we're doing here is trying to reflect evidence that we receive orally and in writing. Those things that you're talking about, I think we can put as observations, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is that acceptable?
With your indulgence, Chair, can we go back? Oh, we are still on the 249 is fine. I think it's the first round alluding to the inclusion of Honourable Karim because we have made a written submission. That's why he was proposing that he be included there. Remember, in our recent submission, there's a submission from Honorable Karim.
We can put that. I'm just thinking, because there's a whole file of written submissions there. The whole file. So that's why I thought we had said earlier on, we will list the written submissions as an annexure. Otherwise, everywhere, and in that, so in the same spirit, 2410 will move from here and it will go into the written submission. Okay, for consistency's sake. Yes, sir.
First, just a slight different view. If we look at paragraph 2.4.8, we're dealing with the shareholder representative. Now, we have captured in 2.4.11 the fact that allegations were made about the governance failures of previous boards, and consequently, the two were invited. Can we, I want to make the recommendation that we say, in response to allegations made,
Hold on. What point are you looking at?
I mean, at 2.4.8.
2.4.8.
A written submission was made by former Minister Yunus Karim, Minister of Communication, Mr. Yunus. We just state that. Because then we capture that and we make a difference between that and other written submissions, Jefferson, because I think they were very pertinent and he replied to certain matters that were raised during the deliberations of the committee and engagement with witnesses. So that would be my recommendation. I don't know if there's any appetite for that.
Remember what we're trying to clarify. There's a suggestion that says all written submissions will be acknowledged, but they will be acknowledged as an annexure. That's the one proposal. The other proposal is saying, let's put it in 2.4.8. Can we get together on this matter? I'm not going to open it up for more than this round. At the end of this round, we're going to take a decision. Here, Boba.
Chair, I think we must be careful here because we must differentiate between what the inquiry heard and what witnesses were questioned on and written submissions. Because written submissions were not interrogated. They were there for our own for our own purposes. So I think we must differentiate. It must be clear that this is what the commission heard. And written submissions must then be a separate thing that must be I'm not sure if I'm clear. Thanks.
Can I withdraw?
No, you can't. We're going to allow this one, and then we will list this thing as something where we have not reached consensus, because we've got another day tomorrow. We can't spend until lunchtime discussing one item. If yours doesn't agree with this, then we will list it as something that we must not apply our mind and we'll do tomorrow.
It's not a big issue, but the point is here you've got a minister who is also a shareholder representative, so it's not just another witness. But I've got no problem to list him. I have a concern with Mr. McQueen's suggestion because all submissions must have the same weight in an inquisitorial process. Because as soon as you start saying we didn't interrogate, there's a different weight to that, then the responses from the SABC, they must all have the same weight. All written submissions have the same weight. Understanding that we didn't necessarily question them on everything, but we've got a lot of documentation, and my view is we can use any information in that documentation to present it, although we haven't necessarily inquired and asked them about it. It hasn't been oral, but there's a massive amount. By adopting a weighted, that some is more weighted than other evidence, we will be found to be unfair. So I think, Chair, I understand what Mr. McQueen is saying. We didn't interrogate in question, but we had very limited time to do that. And so there's massive amount of evidence that is before it in the form of written submission as well that we must consider, Chair. So I would suggest I don't have a problem with listing Minister and Karim as a shareholder representative in the list of submissions we've received.
So I'm not sure anymore what you're saying. Are we saying that we're going to acknowledge him in 2.4.8 plus listing?
That's the question.
I'm saying we must get clarity on that one. You're helping us in there, sir. No, Chair. I don't think by just listing them we're giving them less weight. I think by listing them we're giving them the weight that they deserve, we're acknowledging it. But here it says Minister Faith Mutambi gave the evidence. And she did, she was here, we interrogated the evidence, and that evidence is going to be reflected in the rest of the thing. Whereas Minister Karim's evidence was not interrogated. But we are saying that we will present whatever he presented to this report, even though we can't reflect on it because we did not interrogate it. So let's put it in part as part of the list, as we have done with other written submissions. And then we just leave the oral evidence as a separate matter. Because if we do that, if we put Minister Karim's thing here, it sounds like we interrogated that as well as Ms. Faith Mutambi.
I'm in agreement with that. It's fine.
Anybody has a problem if we put it as listed? I'm not interested in any other view. Those that feel that it would be wrong just to reflect it as one of those that are listed, please indicate. Otherwise, we're going to reflect it as listed. Anybody is going to be violently opposed if we don't put it as a standard of anybody. No, yes, sir. And then, go on.
No, Chair. Chair, we don't share the same way. The statements that are under oath, that members came here, those that we have invited came here under oath, separate from an affidavit. Therefore, the statement, we just use them as we have agreed because the weight is not the same. Those that were under oath here, that is what is going to stand. Those that have sent submission, written submission,
will form the queue that the Honourable Mbene is proposing, that even the Minister Gare is going to follow within the list of those that we have identified. At some point, we close the chair and we have allowed it to open again. I think we are right when we are closing it. Everything that was not allowed will have to go to the president. And that's what we are going to do.
I think to some extent, Honourable, I don't have a problem with us listing them, you know, the written submission. But I think what seems to emerge out of this discussion is that we perhaps need to talk about how do we process then the written submission for saying they came to the committee as the oral submission before the committee. Because we don't want to give an impression to those people who submitted them that we did not take them seriously, because remember they are following this procedure.
Chair, the only thing that I wanted to say is that in the case of Melissa Faith Mutambi, we didn't have the oath here because she is sworn in as a minister. Equally, Mr. Yunus Karim, as a member of parliament, is a sworn member of this assembly. So whether we want to differentiate or not, we actually, in a certain way, have to. Because if he submits something to parliament, he is sworn to present to Parliament the truth and nothing but the truth, as in the case of Minister Faith Mutambi. So I just want to highlight that. Although we did not inquire as to and have in here in oral evidence, we have to differentiate between that, but I will abide by whatever the committee decides.
Honourable members, you know, can we agree to list it? And when we get to the 24th, if you still feel differently, you can talk about it. Because there are other members that also gave us under affidavit and those type of things. You know, when we start saying this one and that one, we will list them as we receive them. And some we might process and will even move from the list to the actual by the 24th if people have read them overnight. But can we just put them as an annexure for now? And on the 24th, members can make a final decision on it. We've now spent 15 minutes on just whether we must put that name on or not on it. Anything else on 249? No? Two, four, ten, you're going to take off and put on the list, remember? All right. Maybe you've got that. 2411? 2411? You want to talk as well, sir? No, I'm saying, Banana, I see you doing this. You have liberty to, yeah. So let's take, Muskillian? Muskillian?
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I would just suggest that we bring it back to the issue of the board. My suggestion would be that we say it as follows. In the course of the hearing, allegations were made, and then we insert the following subphrase, relating to the governance failures of previous boards, which were chaired by Dr. Ben Kobane and Ms. Ellen Chabalala, full stop. Both were therefore invited to give evidence related to their tenures. It is just to bring it back to allegations relating to the board.
On that point?
In addition to then say that those matters affected the current board.
I think somewhere in our observations we have said that we note that the problems of the current board precedes all boards. I think we've tried to link that it's not just...
I just think it's important to mention it here.
Okay.
Even if we repeat it there.
Okay, please rephrase so that we can capture what you're saying. The sentiment.
The thing that she said, plus...
But Killian, the thing that you said, plus Baba?
Plus, which affected...
Between the two of you, you'll draft it at lunchtime and give it to us. But
sure,
agree with
no problem.
Two of you will do it lunchtime and give us the page.
No problem.
That's 2411. 2.11? Done, eh? All right. Except for the outstanding from Killian and Mokwena. 2.51, which is quite long. 2.51? Happiness. 2.52. Happiness? Yes, Mr. Swartz.
The documents were sent on the 9th and 10th December, comma, the day on which the hearings began, if I remember correctly. We got the documents, was it the day before, and the hearings commenced the next day, the 9th or the 10th. If that is weekend, and we commenced on the 13th. What did we say? After the hearings had commenced.
Chairperson, I just wanted to say also, I think we should capture it there, that no index of documents submitted was provided, because we inquired about it during the hearings and from the company secretary, and I think I have verified with the secretariat, they have never received any list of documents that were in fact supplied, the 500 electronic ones submitted. I want to suggest that we say SABC Ventures submitted in excess of 500 electronic documents on 9 and 10 December 2016. I think on the, yeah. No index of documents submitted was presented to the committee.
All right, that's an accurate reflection. And can we then move to 253? Let's take Van Damme and then take Swartz. 253, Van Damme.
253. Will we speak about the documents that Prof. Magube indicated could not be submitted? Can we have a list of those documents? I think there's a difference between could not and were not. So, which also speaks to the next point. So, we must speak, list all the documents that could not be provided for commercially sensitive reasons, according to him, and then the documents that were not provided. So we need a list of them.
So you're saying that those that this attorney reported on as sensitive, you're saying we must list those ones? Because there's a list. We will list those. Okay. Was there anyone else on 253?
Yes, just quickly, in observations, we should also make mention of the fact that it came out in the evidence that when you inquired, that some of the documentation that was listed as being privileged, in a sense, did not appear to be privileged. Remember that you raised those issues, and that needs to come out in observations.
I don't think we've covered it, but we'll mark it. I think we did make an observation that part of the obstructionist tactic was to refer to them as commercially sensitive when they're not. But we'll park it. When we get to observations, please remind us. And I'm sure that people here are reminding us. That's 253. 254.
You just refer to a list there then. You know, you could just say it as a last sentence. And there's a full list of this is attached at the end of this report.
Again, slowly, sir. I'm sorry, I was not following you.
After the full stop, you refer here to a documentation that was received, and you just say a full list of this documentation is attached to this report. Remember, that's the list of written submissions that we've received.
We must say that the list is attached.
Well, is that not what we're going to do?
The list is a full list of an extra A or an extra B,
correct,
or whatever the case might be. You got that. All right. 254. Mr. Waters, Mr. Kubiso, and then Mr. Mahlangu.
I support what Honourable Swart said. Should we not name the people that submitted the written document?
what's raised there, but we should say that the written submissions we received from A, B, and C, I know there were quite a few, but, you know, we should listen to the R and then say that you can, you know, people can refer to the annexures to see what they actually said. Because, you know, people are going to look at this report in a few years' time, and they're going to have to be able to reference those documents. That's why it should be attached.
Sorry, Chair, I'm misunderstanding. Maybe I didn't make myself clear. Because are we attaching, we're not attaching a list of the documentation, we're attaching a list of the names. That can either be done here or later. You see, the evidence itself will form, it's formed part of the bundle of evidence, of the oral evidence, the annexures, everything. So are we, my suggestion is the names here, would be, the names themselves will be listed at the end, because there's a lot of names. Would it not be very cumbersome to mention it here?
What is the thing, list the names here, and you say list the names there, you say put it at the end. We're just talking on that point. Let's take a vision.
Yes, Chair, I just wanted to say this document will be kept in annals of history. And as such, it's important that over and above listing the names of those who made their written submissions, we also refer to annexures. I know that the document at the end of the day will be voluminous, but we need to point out that it will be fine, annexure A, B, C, or D, or whatever. That's my change.
Let's understand this. That point says written information from several witnesses and interested or affected parties were received. And Mr. Waters is saying list just the names of the people who sent them. Here on this paragraph. Just the names, not the content, just the names. And then we'll have an annexure at the back that we had agreed upon earlier on that will say Vincent Smith on this matter.
Agreed, Chair, it's fine.
No, we can do that. So listen to what we are saying now also, and so that we are clear. In our final document, we are not going to attach the actual letter that we received, because we can make a one-line sentence that says, documents are available on request. So here we list the names. The annexure will be a tabularized form of what we received, but the physical document, we are not going to attach to this document. They will be available on request. Is that our understanding? Otherwise, this document will be bigger than that thing that you've got. Do you want to say something, sir? But I don't know. That's why you laugh. So that's you, the 254.
Chair, this does raise the issue that we need an archive of all the evidence, and that's a separate issue. All the evidence, all the documents need to be archived and prepared, the transcript of all the evidence as well.
Maybe let's agree on the principle, Chair, of documentation, that the transcript, it's a record on its own, right? It's there. You now have your written submissions, which will form part of the report. Oh, yeah, it's going to be a bulky report at some point. So we'll list the names, but we'll have to keep that record. So that's the principle that I'm finding.
That's why we're saying will be available on request. We're not going to send that to every affected party, but if an affected party wants to look specifically, he'll come to our library, wherever that library is developed. Make sense? I hear somebody saying make sense. For once in my life, I make sense. That is 254. Can we go to 31? Is that enough? We've got 15 minutes. 311, Mem Fanda.
Chair, can I?
And then Costa.
Ask that we include an additional point when we speak about a board's fiduciary duties. Can we list the legislation from where the board derives its fiduciary duties? And that would be section 50, 51 of the PFMA, which lists the duties of a accounting authority of a public entity, as well as include section 83, 84, and 85 of the PSM, it's 83, 84, and 86 of the PSMA, which details what action must be taken against an accountant authority that does not fulfill their fiduciary duties. I think it's very important that we include that legislation so that it's clear where we get our information.
I think I must make reference to the legislation, section X, Y, and Z in the Public Finance Management Act. And if there's something in the Companies Act, we'll do that, because there could well be fiduciary duties in the Companies Act. Right? Or the Broadcasting Act. You guys are giving us a lot of work. I thought you would say fiduciary duties for relevant documents. That's fine. I hear what you're saying. We will help us, because I don't want somebody to say, technically tomorrow, you only listed these three, but there's something in the fourth one. But we will do our damage to list them. Mem Khosa.
Chair, I agree with Honorable Van Damme. Probably the first thing that we need to say is that, which we haven't said, we have to appreciate the work that has gone into this document, Chair. We really do appreciate it. And whatever that we are coming up with is precisely because you guys provided something to work on. Chair, you know, under 3 points, well, first of all, I thought that, and probably this is going to observations as well, I'm not sure, but I think our heading should be governance, compliance, and consequences. And I'll tell you why I think those must go together. Because at FABC, the evidence that was provided, that was presented to us, really went beyond just governance and compliance, but there were simply no consequences. You know, people just did as they wished and wanted to. But the other thing, Chair, that was my own observation, which I hope will be captured there, which feeds into this, is the whole thing around the pyramid of indifference. You see, in as much as our witnesses came before us, some of them, when it did not affect them, they were okay with continuing with the situation as it was, until it actually started hitting them, that they then started reacting. And I think that's a very critical observation, because so many lives were destroyed in that process. There are so many people that are unemployed as we speak today, because of what actually happened at SABC. And some of the people that led the evidence, that presented the evidence here as victims, yes, they were victims, but you find that at initial stages, they also kind of played in the game, you know, and they took part. So I'm not sure, Chair, I'm not sure how do we capture that. Maybe our legal advisors will help us. But the first a sentence there in 3.1.1, testimony during the inquiry revealed what to many has been an open secret, that is, for several years new board were confronted with challenges that dated their terms. Chair, I'm not sure if this sentence we should be putting it that way. There's something not right about this sentence. And instead, Chair, I think that because one of the things we need to be, this report must be doing, it must not be a report that simply says, you know, we don't even know when this thing started or whatever, because that's the impression that we get from this. Instead, I think we should be saying the testimony confirmed and even revealed, you know, the things that they revealed, because there were already pronouncements on the public protector report on the governance failure at SABC.
I'll allow you to continue, ma'am.
Okay.
I'm just wanting to understand, are we now talking on the observation side or are we talking on the
factual
side?
I'm talking, I was giving you the context, Chairperson.
Okay.
On 3.1.1, so that you can understand why I am saying that first sentence on 3.1.1
we need to review that sentence. I think it doesn't capture the essence of what's actually happening at FABC. Hence, I am saying, probably we should be saying a testimony during the inquiry confirmed and even revealed, you know, and then we can, you know, what votes we're confronted with. But I'm also saying, let's not put the thing that something that says that predates their attempt, because yes, there are those instances where it was predating their attempt. Because if you leave it at that, that means there's nobody who is responsible, because everything seems to be predating everyone, and therefore you will end up not holding certain people to account. That's my thing, Chair, but people with good English will help me, you know, craft this thing properly so that it's punchy and it captures the essence of what happened at SABC. You're looking at me, Mokwena.
One, two, three. We're talking 3-1-1.
Yeah. I think we should build it up, Chair. And I think Honorable Makuzi is correct that we could wait for the. You remember we dealt with the problem statement earlier that Comrade Matlang would have to prepare, meaning that you begin to identify where the problem is. And therefore, this then has to confirm. This paragraph must then confirm what problem that you have identified based on what has been revealed through the process. So I think just need to be reworked properly. And I think Comrade Makuzi can maybe help in that process, because that idea is an idea that begins to identify, to bring forward these were the issues that sort of informed by the problem statement.
Thank you, Chair. I wanted to say I concur with Honorable Van Damme to say, and yourself, to say that we need the legal team to assist us with quoting the relevant legislation when it comes to the fiduciary duties of the board. So that, as you said, correctly said, we don't have to be seen to be omitting some other legislation. We have to be very meticulous and refer to the relevant legislation accordingly, so the legal team can assist us with that. And secondly, sir, Chair, when you begin to say, oh, this matter is an open secret, it waters down the integrity of the matter, and I'm sure then the recrafting will be needed. To say, oh, you know, this is an open secret, it doesn't carry the integrity that's supposed to carry. Thank you.
I wonder how we're going to do this thing now, because I'll come to you guys. You know the way we're going to do it now, because some of you are cleverer than us. It can't be left to the backroom staff. We are going to task some of you to craft this thing for us, because it's an empty job, by the way. So I'm talking about strengthening it. Can we agree that two people here will go and do that at lunchtime, give it to us, because there will be just too much work on these people. In certain instances, we will do what we need to do. In other instances, as we have indicated to Mokwena and Killian, we will give that task to some people. Can we agree on the principle of that one? Because then we own up to it. But then we take Mokwena and then we take Waters on 3-1-1. Are we talking 3-1-1, Mokwena? Yes, sir.
Yeah, and then I want to speak to 3-1-3. I think the issue of testimony suggested that Mr. Claude Mitsvene was at the center must be a separate thing. Thanks.
Take into account. No, Mr. Waters and then you, sir.
Chair, I just wanted to support Dr. Kosa with regards to the second sentence, i.e., I'm quoting now, several years the new boards were confronted with challenges that preceded their terms. That's not a fact. It's, you know, someone's opinion. I think that's that has to come up.
Okay. Fine. Mr. Swartz.
think that if you said making a suggestion, then you must draft. You must provide a draft. Surely that makes sense.
Okay.
We need to, and then, is it correct and right at this first stage to refer to Mr. Botswana? Right here already. I don't know if it's correct because there's a lot of other issues which we deal with and we state this right up front. I'm feeling very uncomfortable about that.
No, I thought Mokwena made a proposal to take him out anyway from the beginning. Can we agree? And I mean, we have said that there's no holy cow. Who is willing to, if you still think that that sentence is in fact necessary, as Ms. Khoza, Honorable Khoza and others are saying, can somebody draft something that reflects what we were trying to, because clearly we failed in that regard. Any takers on just 311? Are you writing it now? Okay. Okay. We will somebody take a note that we will revisit this one after lunch because it's done. After lunch we'll revisit. Oh, you want to do it now? We've got 5 minutes to lunch, my daughter. On 311. Yes, ma'am.
My suggestion about the legislation, I'm happy to drop that or we're leaving that to the lawyers. I'll drop this, okay, thank you.
Alright. You're not dropping the legislation, you're just going to list it. Yeah. By close of business, Fandam will tabulate the legislation. By lunchtime, the contribution of Honorable Khoza in terms of 311 will be put on the table. I'm saying after lunch because we're going to lunch now. So we're going to adjourn. Your one is not too urgent, ma'am, because it's just factual. But we will then start with the proposals that both Khoza and Waters will co-author for 311. Is that fair?
Yes.
All right. That's where we'll start, honourable members. We will do you need a whole hour or do you need half an hour? Not half an hour, a whole hour.
No.
45 minutes.
No.
Half an hour lunch. You enjoy this process, eh? All right. We will be back at 1:30 and we will commence with 311 and by that time Waters and Khoza would present what they want to put on the table, we'll debate and take it from there. Thank you very much. Can we leave this? I'm informed that before we have lunch the members of this committee, can you just remain here before we break for lunch? What did I want to say before that? Is it safe for us to leave our documents because it's quite long?
So many documents. Can we leave them? Are you saying?
Alright. You'll be safe. Don't take anything, of course, except your laptop, but there will be somebody that will physically man this place. We will be back here at 1:30 to start with 311 and first on the floor will be water.